Well, good morning. A bit sad today in the sense of going to bring the exploits of Joshua Nun's son to an end. For those who are visiting with us, Joshua is one of the great characters of the scriptures. And we've been looking at his life, and he was a very successful military leader in the history of Israel. And we looked at him over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I don't know about you, and I hope to God that as I was going through Joshua, that I asked you to read it in your own time. And I know somewhere, and it's been brilliant getting feedback of people, what they seen when they were reading Joshua. And that's what it's about. It's about, you know, inspiring you to read God's word, inspiring you to dig into God's word, and yeah, as a preacher, bringing out some truths of God's word that we can live by. And Joshua was one of those men that, if you're going to aspire to certain people, that this is one of the men I'd look to for his principles of life. Many people are looking for mentors in this world. It's not a new trend, but it's certainly a very common trend right now. But you know, when you read Joshua, you can get mentored by him. When you read his principles and how he walked with God and how he lived his life, he can mentor you, even though he's dead 4,000 years or something. And so I remember I'd done this before. I preached through the book, the 1st and 2nd Timothy of the New Testament. And if you know Timothy, you know, Paul mentored him, Paul discipled him, and Paul always called him his dear son or his faithful son. And he said things to Timothy like, don't let people look down on you because you're young. You know, you're a man of God in your own right. You stand up there. And I remember reading in the history book, not the scriptures, but in the history book, that history says that young Timothy, well, he wasn't young Timothy, but I just always seen him as young Timothy. That God, he was preaching the word. One of the things that Paul said to him was, preach the word publicly. Preach the word publicly. And history tells us when Timothy was reading the word, preaching the word publicly, that a group of men came in and dragged him out and stoned him to death. And I'm reading this in my office and I start crying. I mean, the guy's dead 1,600 years. But I got so into his character, so into his walk with God. And I have to say, I feel the same about Joshua. And when I read Joshua's life, and as I keep on reading it, it's amazing. I could go over Joshua's life in 6 months' time and bring you 6 different messages than I brought this time. Such is the richness of God's word. Such is the expansiveness of God's word. When you read it, you go, wow, I've never seen that before. And that's why we keep saying, a month will not go by where you will not hear someone from this pulpit saying, read the Bible for yourself. Find out what God is saying. Don't just wait to hear what Noel is saying or reading or telling you about it when you can actually know it. If you have trouble reading, which is not uncommon, you can buy the Bible on CD. There's podcasts with the Bible that you can listen to. I was just listening to the Bible the other day, last night on the airport, listening to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. So, you know, there's no reason, guys, because this is your substance. This is the truth. This is the revelation of God. This is how you know God's character and God's movements and what he's saying. And you read it at a glance and you get something. And you read it as a person like me who's reading it for 20 years. And every time I read it, I get something that is feeding to my soul or inspirational to my life or challenging to my lifestyle. So Joshua Nun's son is coming to an end. And I have 25 minutes to bring him to a closure. It was a great job, Caroline. Okay. In chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, we see Joshua's life coming to an end. And he brings all the people around him. Throughout his whole life, he was a tremendous spiritual leader. He was a tremendous military commander who had remained wholly committed to God. All throughout his life, he remained totally committed to God. And in chapter 24, we're going to find the Israelites renewing at the end of Joshua's life. They're renewing their commitment to God that they'd made all those years previously with Joshua at the beginning. In chapter 24, we will see the power of Joshua's spiritual influence. That it says that all of the people that served with him, that were even younger with him than him at the beginning, they continued to serve God even after his death. Such was his influence and his impact upon their lives as somebody who walked with God. He left a legacy. His legacy that he left, part of it was that he left an example of what it is to walk with God. He left a legacy of what it is to trust God, to have faith in God. And as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, what that brought about in his life. He was a true spiritual leader. And here he was now in chapter 24, going to pass the legacy on to his people. And I read in some of 24, it says, "Then Joshua assembled all the nation of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, and the officials of Israel, and they were all present, and they all presented themselves, not just before Joshua, but before God. Joshua said to all the people, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says.'" And he brings them back. He says, "Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, he lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But God said, 'I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, Jacob, Esau. I assigned the hill country to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there. And I brought you out as a nation out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued you with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea, but they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and he brought the sea over them and covered them, and you saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time." He says, "I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived there east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I gave you victory. I destroyed them before your eyes, and you took possession of their lands. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam and of Beor to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and you came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites and the Perizzites and all the other sites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the horn ahead of you, which drove them out before you. I gave you a land to which you did not toil for, and cities you did not build, and you lived in them and ate from vineyards, olive groves you did not plant." And he says this, so he probably gets him a history lesson. This is what God has done. This is your legacy. He says, "I'm reminding you that when Abraham, your father, who worshipped all types of God, forsook those gods and started walking with the living God, he said, 'I've done this for you and that for you, and you're his descendants. I've done all this for you.'" Sorry, I'm reading chapter 23. I'm like, where was I in that? Now he says, after telling them all of that, he says, "He's given you cities. He's given you land. He's given you inheritance." He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your gods, your forefathers worshipped before the river in Egypt." Could you believe all of this time they still had foreign gods? He still had idols with them, hiding them that they brought over from the land of Egypt. He says, "Throw away your gods that your forefathers worshipped in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." He says, this is what God has done. This is how great God is. You're serving these smaller gods. He says, look, if serving the living God is not desirable to you, then choose. Well, that's a great, great question. Simple. Choose. Choose whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers, who they served beyond the rivers, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me, Joshua said, this is on his deathbed. This is his legacy. As for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. He says, you can choose who you want, but as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And the people answered it. They answered Joshua, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord himself who brought us out of our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey among all the nations through whom we traveled. And the Lord did drive out the nations before us, and the Lord did give us victory in the land. We too will serve the God that you're going to serve, Joshua. He says to them, look, this is who God is. This is my legacy. I'm going to pop my clogs. I'm going to kick the bucket. I'm going to leave this land. I'm not going to be here anymore. I've lived my life before you. Here's the history lesson. Get this right. Who done that in Egypt? Who brought you out of slavery? Who provided for you in the desert? Who drove out your enemies before you? It was like a quiz. Who done this? Who done this? Who done this? God, 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 God. He says, well, if God done all this, throw them other things away and make a choice to serve the living God today. What a tremendous statesman that he was. What a tremendous presidential type figure that he was in his community, in his nation. And his life was a testimony, even to the very end, about serving God. That's what it was all about. So he says, leave it behind. And I want to finish Joshua off this morning by saying, what legacy can I see that he left? I have a few words up on the board. He left a legacy. There's the word legacy. He left him a legacy of good leadership. Without leadership, good leadership, they wouldn't have come through. Without him standing and saying, I am believing that God spoke to me, and he says that that's our inheritance. And guys, I'm going to lead from the front to bring you in to the inheritance that God has spoken. You know, it was at near the end of Joshua's life that he got his land. They assigned him the portion of his land. And all that time he was leading from the front. Yeah, we're going to take Ai. And who was in the front? We're going to take we're going to take Jericho. We're going to take on the other kings. And who was leading the pack? Joshua. He gave them leadership. He left them the legacy of leadership. Good leadership. A man called John Maxwell, who was a leadership leader. He says, everything stands or falls on leadership. Our homes will stand and fall on good leadership. Our families, our businesses, our communities, our nation will stand or fall on good leadership or not. When Joshua got it wrong with the city of Ai, he was a leader who was righteous, and he went and put it right before God. It's righteous leaders that will exalt the nation. It's righteous leaders. That's why we should pray for our government. That men and women that go into government will be godly men, godly leaders, righteous leaders. That God, we pray for our government, like I was told a couple of weeks ago and told another one this morning, that Jesus walked into a dream of a man. And he left his home in Belfast to drive to Drogheda to meet one of our guys from this church so that he could lead him to Jesus. Now, our Taoiseach is no different from that man. He may have security around him, but the living God can still walk into his dream. In your home, in your leadership as a man or a woman, as a parent, as a student, as a future leader in God's purposes in there, that God can just walk right in and put the things that are wrong right. Joshua led them into maturity. He led them from, I wanted to expand on this, but I can't go into it so much. but he wanted to expand. That it says when they crossed over the Jordan, they ate from the promised land, and that morning the manna from heaven stopped. 40 years they'd been living from bread falling from heaven every morning. That's amazing. That's today's bread today, isn't it? It was coined way before old Bill Brennan got it. That God would bring 40 years supernatural provision, supernatural bread. This bread wasn't just like bread, it tasted like honey. It was sweet, it was nutritious. It kept them for 40 years. It says that Joshua and the likes of Moses, that their eyesight was still great when they were 110. Because you were eating this manna. Manna means, what is it? So when the first time they came out of their tents in the morning, and you've seen the whole place covered in this manna, this bread stuff, they were like, what is it? I don't know. Maybe you know. What is that? They knew how to do anything with manna. Boil it, bake it, fry it. It was everything. But yet when they cross over to the promised land, stopped. Why did God stop that supernatural? Why did God stop providing in this way? Because he brought them over. He wasn't stopping that miracle. He was moving them into another realm, another dimension of trusting God, stepping out in faith and seeing greater miracles. It was time for them to mature in their faith. It was time for them to step up into a new place in God. The same challenges for us. I want to tell you, when you need a miracle, you're desperate. But when you're walking in victory, you're living according to the principles that God has set down in this word. Amen. You go, why have I not got victory? Why have I not got this? You have to ask yourself, whose code are you living by? Even your own code, no matter how good it is, won't cause you to walk in victory in your life. And God says, now I'm taking you to another place. Now the victory is going to be this. March around city 7 times and see them collapsing. Imagine if he left them. No, I'll do it all for you. You don't have to step out in faith. They would have been babies. They wouldn't have been able to take on the giants. They wouldn't have been able to take the hill country. They would have been, cry me a river. Get me a wambulance. They would have been, oh, there's another joint where God put it in them. No, you stand up to the joint and I will be with you. This is what Jesus said. You take the world and I will partner with you. Now when you go, I will go with you. And Joshua always reminded him, because he was reminded it's going to take courage. It takes courage to live for Jesus, doesn't it? It takes bravery. It takes boldness to capture a city. It takes boldness to capture the things that is within us. Joshua led them from the front and it took courage and strength and obedience. Joshua led in this way. He answered the call of God. He answered the call of God. Whatever God is calling us to do, let us be a people that says, I'm going to do it. It's going to take courage. It's going to take strength. It's going to take God in me, living out through me. But I'm going to be one that says, like Joshua. Joshua never argued with God. You look at the great men of God in the Bible, and nearly them all argued with him. Even the great Peter. When Jesus calls him, he goes, I'm a sinful man. Looking something to block him from going on. And Jesus says, I'll make you a fisher of men. Come on. I'll sort that out. Moses, I can't even speak. I am slow to speak. Moses, just come on. You get me into Egypt and I'll be in Egypt. It's not rocket science. It's not what's on your credentials as in society. It's not whether you're from a good stock or bad stock. It's not about whether you're a good boy or a bad girl. It's not about that. It's about standing up and saying, God, I'll do it. I will go there. You lead me. You take me through the process and I will be there. He gave good leadership in answering the call, accepting the call, and he led from the front. He also, not only did he leave a legacy of good leadership, but he left a legacy of endurance. A legacy of commitment. Joshua was in it to the end. He was in it to the end. I don't know about you, but if I would have taken Jericho, I think I would have been in danger of staying in Jericho. Man, what a victory. What? I mean, you could have it going around in t-shirts, couldn't you? I was there when Jericho fell. Not only that, I'm the one that led Jericho to fall. But Joshua stayed with it to the end. Here he is on his deathbed saying the same things. Serve God. Follow God. Trust God. Throw away the idols. Throw away the things that rob you of him. Throw them away. You won't see miracles with that stuff. You won't see miracles holding on to the old. You won't see miracles trying to dictate to God. You won't see them. He'll be patient with you as a little Christian, as a new Christian. But there comes a time when he goes, come here, honey. I'm God. And you're not. Or even if you're like me, just 20 years walking with the Lord, and 3 months ago, God says to me, I'm the boss now. And he offended my mind so he could reveal my heart. And he doesn't mind doing that. He'll offend that to reveal that. Because then when that's revealed, he can heal it. He can set you free. He was committed to the end. He was committed to the process. Listen, he's on his deathbed and he's still saying to them, go for the victory. This was years and years and years and years and years and years later. He was committed to the end. He was committed to the process. We think sometimes we go to Jericho or we go to Ai and we don't get the victory. That's it. God has finished with me. Stay committed. Who's going to win this city? Who's going to win the rewards? Who's going to get the prizes? It's the committed. It's those who say, no, I'm not going to fall away tomorrow. It's those who make a commitment today. Says, I'm going to stay committed to the end. Even on my deathbed, I'm going to say to all my children around me, stay committed. You don't get out. It's a process. We all as Christians, we want an event. We want an event. If God wanted to be an eventful God, but he is. But he could have just cleaned out Jericho by himself. But there was a process of taking the land. And we need to be committed to the process. A young fella comes up to his pastor. God's called me to be someone who reaches people for Jesus. And I'm going to go out to the city now and I'm going to reach the whole city. And you know what? The pastor says to him, no. I'm not saying you're not called to do that. But you can't wash behind your ears and you want to take on the city devils. And you don't listen to that pastor. And you know what happens? They run out. And they get killed at Jericho. And there's a true story. The young man's not even walking with Jesus anymore. Because he wasn't committed to a process. He wasn't committed to, now you're ready. Now you've training. Now you've understanding. Now you know what it is. And I realize that when God gives us a vision, that it's like there's an immediate type of kickstart to it. It's like, it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen tomorrow. No, there's a process. He doesn't even know, and you don't even know whether you're a committed person yet. But yet you want to take the city. It's a process, and some of the process is failure. And some of the process, you go through the valleys, and you go to the mountains. And some of the process, God provides miracles, and God shows you his faithfulness and his power. But it's all part of the process that you're going to be able to leave a legacy. Also, not only just endurance and cutting through this, but the legacy that he left, it was geographical influence. They took land that no one could imagine before. They influenced now cities. They influenced how the earth was going to be cultivated. They influenced the political sphere of the day. They set in the influential people. They set in their influence spread out. I believe with all my heart that God wants to increase the earth liberty. I can't speak for every other church, but I can speak for liberty that God wants to increase the influence that we have in our city, in our community. That's what I said. I prophesied last week that God has got that we are. It's been designed. The dream has been designed that we would walk down corridors of power. Who am I saying that about me? I'm saying that about you. I'm saying about us. Now we're going to be some people that God is going to open doors that we influence the educational system, politics, people that are in politics. People that are in prison systems, health systems. The dream of liberty has been designed that we walk down corridors of power. Who am I talking about? No liberty. the influence of God's people being increased so that people can come to know God at every sphere of society. Who's going to reach the solicitors? Who's going to reach the bankers? What do you mean, nobody? Who's going to reach them? How can we reach them unless the doors are open to sit with people of them situations? Geographical influence was taking land and driving out enemies and capturing cities. The A in it is that he left a legacy of acknowledging God. See, Joshua is not about Joshua. Joshua, the book of Joshua is about God, the God of Joshua. Every time he didn't say on his deathbed, "Didn't I do good, guys? Didn't I tell you to follow me?" See, when those wouldn't follow me, and they're all gone now. Shook them, "I told you to follow me." He didn't say that. He says, "Remember the God of your fathers." He always gave it back to God. He always somehow said, "No, remember God. He started it, he was with us in it, and he will finish it." He says, "Remember, it's him. Do you know who's going to get you to your destination? God." Joshua was like, "I only walked with him. I enjoyed walking with him. I loved walking with him. And here I am on my deathbed saying, guys, didn't God do well? Stay faithful." He left him the legacy of acknowledging God. Acknowledging God. Everything he'd done, even when he got it wrong, he went back to acknowledging God. Do you remember with Ai? He went back and he jumped on the ground when God revealed his heart to him. He says, "Look at the sin in the camp. I can't move you until you're still with this sin. Sin robs you of your future. Sin robs you of what God has for you." And Joshua says, "What's going on?" And he showed Joshua and he jumped on the ground. "Well, God, what will I do?" He was throwing ashes on his head and God says, "The first thing you can do is get up on your feet because I called you to lead these people." And he acknowledged God. He acknowledged the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. And God says, "Okay, Joshua, this is what the story is. Now you can deal with it. Now you can move on." The Bible says this: if you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and acknowledge him in all your ways, he will make your path straight. And he left the legacy of acknowledging God. Trust him with all of your heart. Acknowledge him in all your ways. The first thing in the morning, who do we acknowledge? The last thing at night, who do we acknowledge and thank for the day? Here's a legacy for you guys. Start out in the morning thanking him for the day and finish the night with thanking him for what's just passed. The good, the bad, and indifferent. Pour him in, acknowledge him. Lord, when you find a penny on the ground, every time I find a penny, I never walk by a penny. I pick her up and I say, "Lord, thanks for your provision. Penny today, €100 tomorrow. €100 tomorrow, €1 million next week." You don't thank him for the penny, you won't even thank him for the other stuff. Thank him for the birds whistle in the morning. No springtime. I say it to Sharon, 20 past five, "Isn't that gorgeous?" Sharon's like, "Yeah, right. Yeah, head case. It's not lovely at 20 past five in the morning. That's a nightmare." Lord, thank you that I'm alive another day. Just something in you springs up, doesn't it? Lord, thank you. He left the legacy of acknowledging God. And the last one, no. He was captured by presence. He left the legacy. Joshua done nothing. Remember, he was with Moses up on the mountain. God went to visit Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments. Who was there? Joshua. He was captivated by God. He didn't just serve God. He loved God. That's why he was able to say to all of them, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Everything that's within you, serve him with everything that's within you." He wasn't saying that as a military leader. He was saying that as someone who was captured by the presence of God. He heard Moses saying to God, Moses says, "Go into the promised land and I'm going to send my angel with you." And Moses says to him, "I'm not going in with the angel, Lord." And the Lord says, "Why?" And he says, "Because I don't know the angel, but I know you." And he says, "I won't go in unless your presence go in with me, because what will determine us that we're any different than anyone else, Lord, if your presence doesn't come with us?" He realized that the presence of God was everything. It's not part of our Christianity. It's not something that we put into a department or we get a little bit of presence or go to church on a Sunday. That's not the presence of God. That's just living off someone else's presence. Someone else's faith. But that's not what God has for us. He wants us to experience His presence every day. Every day. Even if you can't feel Him, He's there. Because He said He'll never leave us, not forsake us. The lie and the trick is, I don't feel God. Did He say He's going to come and live with us? So He is a liar. Or He's true. He loved the presence of God. When Moses, it says, would come out, Moses would go and meet God in a tent. God would come down. God comes down. Moses is sitting there talking to God as a friend would face to face. Joshua's waiting outside. I want a bit of that. I want Moses to come out, his face all glowing. All right, shiny face. Then he'd go in and he'd stay there that bit longer, looking, hungering, seeking after God. That's why when God called him, he didn't argue. He knew. That's why when God says, take Jericho, he didn't have to argue about it. He knew God was going to do it because he knew him. He knew him. He knew his presence. When he was walking around with the ark, remember the priest walking around with the ark. What were he walking around with? The ark was the symbol of God's presence with him. He left the legacy of presence. Presence. The presence of God. If you sit in my presence, you're not missing that. You get something. And if you don't sit in my presence, you're probably not going to miss a whole lot. But if you miss out on his presence, you're living a religious lifestyle. That's all. If that's all it is, why don't we just go and soup on a mountain in Tibet or something? If we just want to live a religious lifestyle, join a monastery, join some Christian whatever, up on a mountain in a cave or something. If you want to live the adventure that Joshua lived, get into the presence of God. How do I do that now? Look, just sit on your own and say, Jesus, I'm here. It's not complicated. Just tell him you're here. I remember when we first became Christians, I used to go into my bedroom because my mate told me I could know Jesus. I'd go in on my knees and I'd be like, Jesus, I'm here. And I'd have my Bible and I'd open it up and I'm reading about Jesus. Jesus, I'm here. And I'd close my eyes and I'd open my eyes real quick to see could I catch him. See, could I just catch him because I could feel his presence. I'm like, I know you're here. I know when you're on, you're always real quick and you see a spark type of thing. I'm like, there he goes. I was just so hungry. And if you want to know where you go, how you go places with God, it's his presence. And what's the last one up there? Yes. He left the legacy of saying yes to God. Yes, me and my house will serve you. Yes, we will cross the Jordan. Yes, we will walk around Jericho. Yes, Lord, we will trust you when you say do this. Yes, Lord, we will accept your forgiveness and move on. Yes, Lord, I'll know that you will give us our inheritance. He left the legacy of saying yes. Yes, everything was yes. What you want, Lord? Yes. What you want me to do, Lord? Yes. Where do you want me to go, Lord? Yes. Who do you want me to cut down, Lord? Yes. What seed do you want me to take tomorrow, Lord? Yes. Everything was a yes to him. He left the legacy of yes to God. And when you say yes to God, yes to God, yes to God, you see the victories of God, the presence of God, the majesty of God. It's all wrapped up in the legacy of yes. I don't think so. Maybe. Do this for me first. You scratch my back and I might say yes. It doesn't work that way. You say yes to him and everything else gets added on. That's what he said. Seek first the kingdom. Say yes to seeking first the kingdom. And I'll add everything else on. We want all the added stuff on. Don't we? I want. Lord, can I have all that other stuff without doing this stuff? No. I'll give you a taste of it. So that might turn you around to do it the right way around. We want the added on. Do this, Lord. Add this on. Add a wife on. Add money on. Add cars on. Add whatever on. We all want the added on. And you know what's even crazy? That here's my little rant. You know what's even crazy? You look at the God channel and you know what they're all looking for? The add-on. That's what they're all saying. Send me your money and we'll pray and we'll add on. Cars. Who wants a car? Who wants it? I see the hand. But listen, do you want the kingdom? Do you want the kingdom? You seek first the kingdom and everything you need, he says he'll add it on. But we're getting led down tracks of seeking the added ons. And Jesus is here saying, guys, I am everything. I pray every time I get in my car when I'm at a distance, Lord, transport me from here to my house. I pray every time I close my eyes and go, go on, Lord, and I open them. And I promised him the last time I'd never tell anyone if it happens. And he's like, you're going to tell everybody, I know you. Seek first the kingdom and maybe we won't need a car. Maybe you'd say, no, I'll meet you in the morning and I'm just standing right beside you. Of course, that was quick, no? Super pastor. He left them the legacy of saying yes. And when Joshua said to them, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the Lord or your idols? Are you going to serve the Lord? They said, yes. Because he had already said, for me and my household, we're saying yes to God. And they says, and I'm saying yes to God. And I would encourage you, whether you're here for the first time, and you don't understand everything, or here for the millionth time, say yes to God. Say yes to him tomorrow. Say yes to him tonight. Say yes to him when he says, give. That's the principles. Say yes to sowing. That's the principles he learned from coming out of the desert. Now you're going to sow in the promised land and you're going to reap from what you sow. You're going to be have a produce of what you sow. He led them from this supernatural vision every morning to sowing and reaping. Sow generosity, you reap generosity. Sow love, you reap love. It's all across the board. He said, I'm going to learn you how to sow now. You know, and if you're not receiving some of that stuff, you have to look at what you're sowing. You have to look at, that's the principles. He took them from that to that. And they've seen more miracles in the sowing and the reaping and the producing of tenfold, a hundredfold, a millionfold than what they could ever produce. And here's Joshua. Then Joshua sent all the people away, each to his own inheritance. And after these things, Joshua Nunsun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? He says, now guys, go. Go and live in your inheritance. I've showed you, I've told you, you said you're going to follow God. Now go and get your inheritance. And Joshua wasn't homeless. He wasn't a spiritual vagabond. They buried him in his own inheritance. And I pray this for each one of us, that whatever your inheritance is in God, that you die in it. That you die in the whole thing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I'm so excited about this day, Father. I'm so excited about what you've spoke to us through this book. I'm so excited, Lord, that Joshua wasn't saying, Lord, follow him. He was saying, follow God. As for me and my household. And guys, I would be absolutely it would be absolutely wrong for me to show you that in the Word of God and to not give you an opportunity to respond to God. It would be absolutely wrong. Heaven would frown at me if I didn't say to you this morning, if you want to serve God, if you've never come to a place in your life where you want to serve God, that this is you're here this morning because you don't know how you got here. Well, God knows how you got here. He knows how you walked in that door, who you walked. He knew you when you were getting up this morning, going to bed tonight. And Joshua challenged the people, who are you serving? Let me ask you this, is what you've been serving, whether it's been business success, whether it's been drugs, whether it's been lust, whether it's been money, whether it's been power, let me ask you this, has that served you? Has that brought peace to your mind? Has that put you right with God? And I guarantee the answer is no. So Joshua says, throw them away and say yes to the living God. And I want to, should we just close our eyes? Just a couple of moments. I'm sorry I'm over time. But you're here this morning, you go, I'm throwing away what I have to get what he has. I've never asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I've never accepted, forgiveness of my sins. And I want to accept that forgiveness this morning. I want to walk in the plans and the purpose of God. Because believe me, he has a plan and a purpose. And you've been clinging on to stuff that's never satisfied you. It's like falling through the hole in your heart. Yeah, it's satisfied for a while, but it's after ripping me off. But today, I want to stop the madness. I want to stop clinging to worthless things, and I'm going to say, Jesus, you're my all. If there's been a legacy left, I want to be in the legacy. And I want to be someone that leaves a legacy. Everyone has their eyes closed. This is only for the sake of privacy. But put up your hand and say, Noel, I want to be a follower of God. Thank you. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to be somebody. Thank you. Thank you. For me and my household, we're serving God. I don't care about next door, particularly in this situation. I can't make a decision for them. I can only make a decision for me. Who are you following? Manchester United won't get you to heaven. Money won't get you to heaven. The church won't get you to heaven. The worship won't get you to heaven. The only one that can get you to heaven is Jesus. The only one that can get you into heaven is Jesus. And he gives you this opportunity. Accept what I've done for you. And you are not only going to go to heaven when you pop your clogs, but you're going to live out my life through you in this earth. Say, no, yes, I want them. I want them. I want them. I don't want anything else. I don't want worthless idols. Amen. Father, I ask in Jesus' name right now for each one that has connected or you've connected with them in a way, Lord, that we say, I'm not clinging on to that stuff. Believe me, even hatred and bitterness can be an idol. Don't think of it as something that's carved out of a piece of wood. It's the things that we cling on to. And I pray that the Holy Spirit shows you what it is in your own life. Things that we cling on to that robs us of the presence of God. Lifestyle that robs us. Sin that robs us. And we cling on to these things. And Joshua said, this is the day, nail that sucker. Nail it before God. Expose my heart, Father. You expose my heart, Lord. Because I don't want that to come between me and you, because there was a time when I'm captivated by your presence and now I'm not, Lord. So whatever has come between you and his presence, confess it. Confess it before God and let him forgive you. Let and receive his forgiveness. Father, I bless your people. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I pray for victories. I pray for the walking through a process. I pray, Father God, I pray for manna, Lord, for those who are in desperate needs, Father, and I pray for those, Father, who is walking with you, Lord God, to start seeing the principles of God in action, to start seeking and finding, to start knocking and doors opening, Lord God, to start sowing and reaping, Lord God. Father, all of the principles that's wrapped in your word, Father, that they would be revealed to us. I pray for those who need a miracle right now, Lord. Drop manna today, Lord. Drop the need, the source that will meet the need in their lives today, Father God. Those who have jobs needs, Father, drop it down, Lord. Father, open doors, Lord God. Health issues, Lord. Drop the manna. Drop the miracle, Father God. Heal cancers, Lord. Heal, Father God, hepatitis, HIV, Lord God. Heal broken hearts, Father. Broken minds, Lord. Drop the miracle manna, Lord. The miracle bread from heaven. Jesus, you said that you are the bread. You are the bread. Lord, walk into our lives. Walk into those areas of our lives so that your people can go free to live in their inheritance and even to die in their inheritance. I say, as Joshua said to the people, go and live in your inheritance in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thanks for your patience. See you next week.